Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit coming up as usual. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free
as usual in hour three.
Right.
If that were
as
our usual time.
On Monday.
Okay.
Listen, just because I got here seconds ago is no reason.
Okay.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice D.D. Jim Moore to me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, I was saying, since we're in the Clear Channel building out here in L.A., several zillion morning shows start at 6 a.m. Pacific time, so there's when you can tell the crowd because we're kind of fighting each other to get in the building first and get our security badges together and all of that stuff. It does look like that scene from Zero Dark Thirty. People just rappelling in. Some people dropping in by helicopter. But as we said at the top of the hour, thank God Ryan Seacrest isn't still here.
Yeah.
Because he would cut a bitch if
he
you
would.
Got in front of him in the elevator.
Excuse me?
Right.
Do you know who I am?
You do not get in the same elevator as Mr. Seacrest.
No eye contact.
I never got that memo, so I actually did ride with Mr. Seacrest.
Oh, we're making all of that up. He was actually very nice.
He was, yeah.
A couple times I saw him, he was very nice. All right. As people generally are that are multi-zillionaires
sure.
and have nothing to be sad about.
And who work 24/7.
Right.
I don't understand.
I did not mean to imply that Mr. Seacrest does not earn his zillions of dollars a year, Chris.
He's always on TV somewhere.
And always on radio.
Always on radio.
In every single market in America.
It is amazing.
I don't
Maybe
understand.
He's triplets.
Maybe he's not human.
Maybe he's triplets.
Maybe he is a hologram.
There's Ryan, Ted, and Joe Seacrest, and they all.
All right. You can tell by my
Ryan.
Dorky Tourist t-shirt that I was in Carmel this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm that dork that always buys a t-shirt and always wears it right away the first day.
I went to Carmel.
Yeah, we know.
My best friend's daughter was graduating from high school. So it was a big party.
Yeah.
Cool. A good time was had by all. Why? Wine country.
Yeah.
What can go wrong
it's beautiful
there?
Beautiful up there.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was great.
What's his name? Still the mayor of Carmel?
No. Clint Eastwood.
No. I was wondering if I was going to see him, you know,
at the high school graduation.
Yelling at a chair
in a restaurant somewhere.
Alas, I did not.
Okay.
The best thing about Carmel, it is like dog heaven. There are dogs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like overrun by dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There was a newfie staying at our hotel, and he wears a bib.
Why?
Because he's drooly. Anyways, huge. Huge black newfie. Delightful. All right, so, sorry. I'm still coming down off my dog heaven.
Okay.
We did want to spill his poutine, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's from Newfoundland.
Right, he's from Newfoundland. Exactly.
Montreal, but close enough.
All right, lots going on in the newses, as usual, including, we still have Scandalpalooza going on.
Kind of. They're still trying to trudge all that out.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. Meanwhile, by the way, we still got a sequester cuts that we've been talking about that are starting to kick in, and it's like, really? Really? Are we going to keep talking about Benghazi and blah, blah, blah? Here's the
Benghazi
only good news.
Benghazi and austerity. Great.
Right. Terrific. By the way, we've talked about this, and we'll get to this in a second, but there was a great piece about how liberals have saved California.
Yeah.
Much to everyone's chagrin politically. But it's exactly right, Jim. It's what you just alluded to. It's proving that exactly, it is proving in practice exactly the opposite of this whole austerity thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a surplus now. We are like the United States as governed by Clinton back.
Exactly. I mean, we got like, back to where we were before the Bush disaster.
Right. We're our own little blue island out here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it works.
And that's what somebody was saying is Jerry Brown's been undoing what Schwarzenegger did.
Right.
And, you know, Obama's undoing what Bush
why he went
did.
Back to the movies and all of this.
Right. Yeah. I got back in the chopper.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God he will not be back. As it turns out, politically speaking. So anyway, yeah, but that's, and it's a great piece about, that it's not like we don't have any templates for what works or what doesn't work.
Right.
It is working out here, and obviously the big story last week in healthcare was that the rates are lower here than had been expected.
Hmm.
So that, you know, in blue states like this one that are going to help, that are going to be helpful in the Affordable Care Act, things are probably going to work very well in states, Texas talking to you.
Ha!
Just saying.
Study just came out proving that we are number one in medical costs. Yes!
Yeah, America.
Not the best care, not by a long shot, but it's more expensive than anywhere else on Earth.
Right.
Yay! America!
Right.
Bleep yeah!
Right. Exactly. Sorry, he doesn't have a box.
Yeah.
I guess that goes without saying.
Well,
sure.
You would think.
All right, but anyway, here is some other magical news, I have to say.
Okay.
Doyle McManus wrote a good piece in the L.A. Times yesterday, Tea Party Tempest Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the movement is fired up as ever and just as unwilling to compromise, which could spell trouble for the Republican Party.
That's right.
Yay. Because that's the difference. When I say there's a template for what's happening, the president, obviously it's a bigger task. One state is, and the other thing is that we were able to get huge Democratic majorities here, mm-hmm. and that's why we're able to get stuff done that
right.
is that's helping and that is working. Whereas the president, as I've said over and over again, look what he's up against. He does not have Lyndon Johnson majorities,
right.
and he's got this party, this Republican, this Tea Party Republican Party. So
Benghazi Party.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's so it's harder for him to undo what Bush did. But at any rate, I've got to read some of this to you. Fine American Doyle McManus. Because I kind of knew this, but not really. But the Tea Party is back. And because you remember everybody said, oh, it's going away. And it is less in number, but they're still just as troublesome, which is...
They are.
Awesome. The Tea Party's back brewing trouble for the Republican establishment after the GOP debacle in the 2012 election. Republicans not only failed to win the presidency, but blew a chance to take over the Senate. Party leaders paused to consider what had gone wrong. The RNC issued a scathing warning that the party was an ideological cul-de-sac and resolved to act friendlier. Act being the operative words. Act friendlier.
Yeah, the word friendly and women, Tea Party should never be in the same sentence.
Minorities and low-income voters. That's just a little patronizing. Just
yeah.
Just speak in low tones to chicks.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, they're
excitable. You lost your job.
Hello, brown people. Good morning. Strategist Carl Rove said the lesson was to nominate more moderate candidates and started, obviously, raising money to do that, blah, blah, blah. The Tea Party and other conservative leaders, undaunted, drew the opposite conclusion,
of
which
course.
I think is the correct one.
Yes. Go with that.
Yes. Farther to the right. That
right.
was the message. Absolutely. Not one moderate challenger won, is what one of the Tea Party leaders said. The solution, they argue, is to swing further to the right, not toward the center. Yes, go. Run. Like the wind.
To the right, to the right.
Right, to the right. Beyonce perhaps
yes.
could do a new song for
mm-hmm.
them.
Right.
To the right, to the right.
All of your things in a box, to the right.
To the right. Tea Party is as fired up as ever, McManus writes, even though the movement is smaller now than in its heyday of 2010.
They're very, very tiny.
They're very
hey,
small.
Hey, listen to us.
Very small and very
hey.
Irritating.
Yeah, like a gnat or a tsetse fly.
Like one of the smaller Kardashians. Just.
There's no such thing as a small Kardashian. They're all pretty
really?
Large.
Are they?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
And Leon is getting larger.
Right. In one recent poll, only 22% of American voters said they considered themselves Tea Party supporters. More than 350 Tea Party organizations are still operating, however. Huh. That's why that might have drawn some scrutiny just numerically from
yeah,
the IRS.
Sure.
Recently, they've been re-energized by the outbreak of scandals and quasi-scandals. I would say most of them are quasi-scandals
sure.
in the Obama administration.
Sanctuary! Oh, that's Quasimodo. I'm sorry.
That's different.
Different.
Yeah. Right. The approach of congressional primary elections makes the Tea Party a major force, too. The groups have a track record of turning out in force for low participation primaries, which is exactly why they're going
to
keep going
to the
right, because
the
they're
right.
going to get teabagged in the primaries.
To the right.
Right? Tea Party supporters are responsible for almost all of the total campaign activity performed by party supporters on the Republican side. Tea Party supporters are not just a faction within the Republican Party. They are a majority faction. The problem, of course, is that this majority faction inside the party holds views often at odds not only with the majority of all voters, but within the rest of the GOP. Fight, 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 please. That polarization already spells trouble in the House. No kidding. It spells trouble in the Senate, too, though, where the party's newest star, Senator Ted Cruz.
Star.
Ted Cruz has brought old guard GOP leaders to the edge of rage by publicly criticizing them as a bunch of squishes.
Wow.
He's right. You're squishy.
Stop being so squishy.
He and other Tea Party
senators
have succeeded in blocking House Senate budget negotiations, charging that talks might lead to a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling, which they oppose.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. To the right, to the right.
To the right, to the right. According to another survey, roughly three-fourths of Tea Party activists say they would prefer a strongly conservative candidate who's likely to lose over a relatively moderate candidate who's likely to win. Yes! Yes, stand on your principles. You are correct.
And while
exactly.
you're wearing your tri-corner hats, why don't you have muskets? You're
yeah.
going to be really
right.
authentic.
Right, exactly.
It'd take about an hour to load.
That's the most Second Amendment-y ever.
Yes.
You originalists. Okay. Finally, on paper, 2014 should be a good election year for the GOP. It's the sixth year of the Obama presidency, a time when opposition parties historically do well. Democrats face an uphill battle to hold on to their 55-seat majority in the Senate. Midterm voters turnout is usually lower, so they can't count on the surge of young and minority voters who helped Obama win re-election. But they have at least one asset, the civil war within the GOP. Once again, Democrats may prove lucky in their opponents. Principles. Stand on your principles.
Please do.
And remember, once again, to the right. You are right. It's more important
to be
right than to win. Okay.
Everything you own in a box to the right.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Just giving. I am a helper.
You're so good at that.
I'm trying to help. Because you know what? In the end of the day, you'll sleep better. You'll feel better about yourself.
Right. When you have authentic uniforms
winning
and authentic muskets.
Winning is not what's important. Don't be a squish.
Take off your lace panties.
Right.
Don't be noodlebacks.
I agree with Kathy Durr, Tea Party Patriot.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodlebacks.
Right. Squishy noodlebacks. All right. Okay.
They're the best kind.
Yes.
Squishy noodle X.
That advice was all free. Thank you. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on a Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Yes, we were commenting on, I saw Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah.
Please and thank you, Tea Party Patriot, Republican. Uh-huh. From Tennessee on Meet the Press, and she said what now?
She said women don't want equal pay laws.
Right, and Jim said... they just want a brighter shine to their counters.
Yeah, that's all they want.
She popped out of a 1953 vacuum ad.
And look at that shine.
While she smoked her Chesterfield.
Not a cough and a carload. As your physician, I recommend smooth flavor.
Okay. All right. Doctors did. They used to recommend smoking to pregnant women to calm them down.
Right? Yeah.
Awesome. All right. 23 minutes after the hour, this hour brought to you by SodaStream. All right then. So anyway, we've been talking. I was just reading this great piece from the LA Times about the Tea Party. Tea Partiers like Marsha Blackburn.
Uh-huh.
Please and thank you. I don't remember why she said women don't want equal pay laws, but it was a good one. I'm going to go back and find that. But anyway, we were talking about the. There was a piece. I'm not sure where, about how liberals saved California. We were just talking about the, and they were making comparisons between how Jerry Brown, but more importantly, I think the Democratic majorities here have helped undo the mess that Arnold Schwarzenegger made out here. Thanks, Arnold. And it is a lot tougher for the president, obviously, in the nationwide model with the obstructionism that he's facing, in my opinion. But anyway, this piece makes a lot of great points. Contrary to the great man theory of politics from Brown's biographers, liberal organization led California's comeback by taking away the tools empowering minority Republicans. The initiative allowing Democrats to approve a budget by majority vote passed in 2010 before Brown's term began. Because he actually, Jim, you probably heard him talk, he says austerity type stuff. And it is not what works. I don't know how many times we can say this. Democrats passed a sorely needed... Guess what we did? We added a tax, and that's part of why we have a surplus. And this is what just irritates the bejesus out of me, why we can't figure this out on a national level. This is what has balanced the budget here. Rich people have to pay their fair share, period.
Yep.
Success has unsurprisingly flowed from the removal of ideological gridlock. Brown has appointed himself fiscal watchdog for the state, rejecting the restoration of any social services that were savaged by cuts over the past 5 years. Thanks to the tax measure and an improving economy, we have a surplus, as I was mentioning. In the May revision of his budget, Brown actually lowballed revenue estimates, claiming a modest $1.2 billion surplus. The Legislative Analyst Office, which is nonpartisan, says it's $4.4 billion. It looks like he deliberately misstated the money, how much money the state has to keep the message of fiscal, austerity.
Mm-hmm.
on track. And anyway, but my point is just that I wish we could follow this model nationwide because it just is, yeah, anyway, just saying. Blue.
Blue
big
works.
Blue state.
Blue works. Red doesn't.
Rick, not to be partisan in any way.
Not at all.
We're just saying.
I'm looking at some print ads from the 1950s.
Yes.
Some of them are disturbing. Is it always illegal to kill a woman? Yeah, pretty much.
Is that an ad?
Yeah.
What, an ad for what?
It's supposed to be a joke, I guess.
I'm guessing Marsha Blackburn would be okay with that.
Was it an ad for parquet or something? Parquet margarine?
She would go on, if there were a Meet the Press of that day, she'd be like, sometimes she has it coming.
Yeah.
Women don't want laws against murder.
So the harder a wife...
If they have it coming.
So the harder a wife works, the cuter she looks.
Oh, boy. Rick in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, hi, Steph. I think we're walking a real dangerous line to give more power to reporters when you look at who owns the news. You talk about the Midwest. Most of those people get local news and local news only. It's owned by Rupert Murdoch,
yeah,
by Clear Channel, all these right-wing channels, Fox. You're never going to get the truth out of them. You're going to get whatever the Republican Party, they got their hands so far up there, you know what.
Well, you know,
you're
Rick,
never going to get the truth from them.
Rick, I have to say, you know, certainly there are troubling aspects to what happened, but I have to admit to my own bias. You're right. When I heard it was a Fox reporter, I was like, eh. And that particular case seems a pretty serious security breach, don't you think? I mean, that really did seem like, why do you want to report something like that? I mean, that is real national security, the particular story about North Korea, don't you think?
And there's a ton of things that they can't say why they can't bring it up. You don't know how many people's lives are endangered by it, and they can't come out and say.
Right.
Because you can't trust the press, you know? It used to be in the 60s, they never talked about anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I do agree in general it's a problem talking about criminalizing reporting, but you know, that particular case, it seemed very, very serious, and at least the guy leaking absolutely should be prosecuted. It just, I think that seemed like a very fine line to me, the degree to which this guy was soliciting mm-hmm. this information and trying to get it out there, that it is national security.
And what would the people we're at war against do with things against Americans, anything at all?
Right, yeah.
But having said that, we do need whistleblowers.
Right.
When
yeah. Do you feel the same about Bradley Manning, who leaked a whole lot of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah,
He should be prosecuted?
I don't think so, because I think what he talked about is things that we should know about.
You know what we should talk about next is this guy that recorded Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
A fine line case as well. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is
Stephanie Miller.
Whatever. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, let's go back to 1953 with Marsha Blackburn, shall we? In honor of Tea Party Patriot Republican Marsha Blackburn, who said yesterday on Meet the Press that women don't want equal pay laws. Jim is reading some ads from the 1950s.
This one from Benson and Hedges. A woman is only a woman, but a good cigar is a smoke.
Right. Oh, really?
Van Heusen ties. Sure, it's a man's world. The ideal gift for all occasions. Oh, darling, how lovely. I've just longed for Fowler's Vacola bottling outfit for years.
What?
Yeah, and what? And various car ads where, you know, women, you know, crash
right.
the cars because they can't drive, you see.
Right.
And,
well, it's in Stephanie's case, that is true.
Well, yeah.
I fit the story.
Several times. Right. And here's a fun one. Do you still beat your wife? Maybe you should never have stopped. Read why in the rollicking, provocative, yet educational booklet entitled Why You Should Beat Your Wife, written by an eminent practitioner of this manly art. Send 15 cents in stamps or coin to...
Wow, that's a headline there. It was only 15 cents?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
In stamps?
Yikes.
Like green stamps? Is that what they're talking about there?
Oh, how about, know. And there's
I
a...
Probably.
picture of a man spanking his wife because she didn't. What she didn't do?
If your husband ever finds out you're not store testing for fresher coffee.
Oh, yikes.
What's store testing?
I don't know.
Hmm. Although you pointed out, I kind of like it.
If he discovers you're still taking
chances
of getting flash
sale, I'd be like, oh, I forgot to store test again. Oh, bad girl. Okay. All right.
You need to be spanked.
Oh.
Like a punch.
Punch me in the ass. See? Now you've gone over the line.
Yeah.
Now it's not fun anymore.
Now, right.
Now
it's not sexy.
Now we get a nice thing.
That's not sexy.
No. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. First of all, a shout-out to Bar Baby. She is six today.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you try to hit her, if you ever tried to spank her, she'd punch you right in the face. She's small but wiry, like you said.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think today everyone should call Marsha Blackburn's office and find out for sure that she gets paid three-quarters of what all the male congressmen get paid.
Right.
And then the other point I just want to make is that, see, I own an online bookstore.
And by the way, she shouldn't get paid as much. Who can match the brain power of a Louis Gohmert?
Well, this is true, but I have to say, you know, I own an online bookstore, and it's an amazing thing. As soon as people realize that it's a chick who owns the bookstore, they ask for a 25% discount because, you know, the books obviously are therefore cheaper. I mean, for Pete's sake, that is exactly why it is just the most absurd thing.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. All right. Thank you, honey.
Thanks.
All right. Love to the bar, baby. All right. Well, so a caller brought up the AP thing, and we were talking about, and not just the AP thing, but the James Rose and the Fox Reporter. And we were saying some of this is a tough, you know, they're difficult issues because that seemed like a really serious case in terms of, you know, leaking secrets about North Korea, et cetera, that really would endanger national security. And I don't, like you were saying, do I think Bradley Manning should be prosecuted? Yes. I mean,
the things that I've seen that he released are things that we should know about. If we were strafing civilians.
Okay, but that's the problem, Jim, is how do you, where do you draw that line? How do you, I mean,
would you have put, Cy Hirsch in prison for reporting on My Lai or?
I take your point, but you know it's interesting. We were talking about this. You know, Mitch McConnell. He was recorded in his campaign
Daniel
office.
Daniel Ellsberg for the Pentagon Papers.
Okay, I got it. But he was recorded in his office with a guy with a flip phone. Right. It was like the 47% comments, except you know, so this guy may be prosecuted, and he wrote a whole piece for Salon about why I secretly recorded Mitch McConnell. And these cases are, and this is the thing, is like when it's someone that we don't like politically, like Mitch McConnell, you go good for him, and then, I mean, but it's interesting. Our friend John Yarmuth apparently was on TV and said that this threw this guy under the bus, and he talks about that because John Yarmuth is one of his favorite congresspeople. So I mean, there is that line, like what is a line? First of all, they rushed to Nixon and Watergate for everything. They did. This was not liberals.
That's a bit much.
That you know, wiretapped his office. This was a guy, a liberal activist and citizen reporter, whatever he calls himself, with a flip phone. You know, this is where, what's his name? What's the guy on the right that does all this stuff? O'Keefe.
Yeah, James O'Keefe.
Yeah, I mean,
Pimp Daddy.
Right. Right, but he obviously broke the law in certain cases. And again, it's easier to go, because we don't like him politically. But a lot of the stuff he did was completely dishonest, and that I also think that's different.
Editing the film.
Right. The famous thing, and people don't remember this, that everybody thinks is that he dressed as this outrageous pimp and walked into an Acorn office.
And he did not.
No.
Yes.
That was shot separately.
Yes.
Edited in. Right.
Yeah. So that's what made it TV friendly for Fox. Look, what a dork, you know, they are at Acorn.
But I think if you're out in the public now, you can pretty well assume someone's recording something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because everyone's got some kind of mobile device and then, you know.
Yeah, well, the point is that McConnell was saying he wasn't out in public. He was in his office. Well, his name's Curtis Morrison. He says, earlier this year, I made an audio recording of Senator Mitch McConnell. But the funny thing is, once again, I mean, the point, and I think his point is well taken, that they've made the story about that rather than about the horrendous things that they were saying about Ashley Judd and what their game plan was against her. He says, I leaked the recording to Mother Jones, which published it with a transcript and analysis in April. At the time, McConnell was prepping for a race against actress Ashley Judd. The recording captures his team in some grade-A jackassery, as he says, including plans to use Judd's history of depression against her. So anyway, he's, you know, just found out charges are, charges are being prepared that may be presented to a grand jury against him. McConnell was quick to frame himself as the victim of the crime, which was to be expected. It was the guilty repositioning of a politician who's been caught being craven.
Right.
He said, I don't personally dislike McConnell. I just believe he has failed Kentucky. He's prioritized his personal agenda du jour over the needs of Kentuckians for more than 3 decades of his so-called public service. And this was, he points out, this is at a time when the PPP poll showed him was he was the most unpopular senator in the country. And obviously, this Ashley Judd was clearly viewed as a huge threat. You know, his numbers show him very vulnerable,
right.
And she's a Hollywood star and yada yada. But they were vicious in the stuff he caught on tape. McConnell refused to answer reporters' questions about the recording, deflecting repeated inquiries with portrayals of himself as the target of Nixonian tactics. You stop comparing everything to Nixon?
Yeah, exactly.
To Watergate, some guy with a flip phone that caught you saying crappy things.
Not
about your
Watergate.
It's a conspiracy!
And then someone always goes farther. This is the Gestapo kind of scare tactic, someone else
right.
on McConnell's team said. Yes. He goes, it's amazingly how quick they get right to Hitler.
Gestapo.
Right. Yeah. Some guy with a flip phone is exactly like
Hitler.
Right. Anyway,
guy with a flip phone, guy murdered millions of people.
Right. He writes, I'm in California now, plan to attend law school here in the fall. I'm 44 years old. My life path has shifted a bit, but I'm still all right. But he's talking about how he's lost his job and his house and his, you know, Mitch McConnell, ironically, has kind of destroyed him to the same degree that he was planning to try to destroy Ashley Judd because he had a flip phone and recorded.
Right.
As for whether my actions were illegal, I don't believe so. And that position has been supported by some high profile attorneys, including John Dean. Speaking of, Nixon and Watergate, right. Anyway, but, you know,
his office is public, is a public facility.
I think it was like he did the flip phone through the window or something is what, you know, what it sounds like to me. Hmm. But anyway, he said McConnell's numbers continue to slide, which is also ironic that this latest poll shows the woman that, may run in place of Ashley Judd beating him already. So,
If you're talking about something that you don't want to get out, maybe close the window.
There you go.
I'm just saying, I'm a helper.
Or make sure you know everyone who's in the room.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Just close the window. That's all you got to do.
You are a helper.
All
right.
Open the door, Richard.
All right. Oh, by the way, so the latest Scandalpalooza, of course, is the IRS. Already under fire.
Scandal.
Right. Already under fire, obviously. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Faces increased scrutiny because of an inspector general's report that says it spent about $50 million to hold at least 220 conferences for employees between 2010 and 2012. If you saw the video of them yesterday line dancing, the main thing I said to my friend is clearly not a lot of salad bars at the IRS. They are not spending money on salad bars.
They probably shouldn't be spending money on these kinds of conferences.
No, they probably should not.
Yes.
And I in my opinion, line dancing is just dumb.
Unless it's the electric slide, because everybody can do the electric slide.
Of course.
See, they're getting exercise.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because that's what the IRS people need on IRS time.
All right. Josh Earnest, White House Deputy Press Secretary.
We are confident that that review will take a look at a wide range of things, including making sure that we hold accountable those who are responsible for this wrongdoing.
There you go. David Axelrod, White House Senior Advisor yesterday.
If there was somebody political involved in this, it never would have happened because it was the stupidest thing you could imagine.
That he made a really good point yesterday on Meet the Press, is that that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. It's, this obviously was not directed by the White House or somebody political because, that crystallizes the whole thing, that this, like we've said over and over again, this clearly was, in the wake of Citizens United and the explosions of these groups.
And they were trying to get a handle on how to deal with the extreme onslaught of new people applying for tax-exempt status.
Why isn't it more the story that a lot of them lied? Isn't that the scandal? They checked the box saying, no, we're not involved in any.
No, nothing political? That's crazy.
It is. They cheated at Battleship, basically.
G4.
Yes.
As you
slightly move your move your boat.
Uh-huh. You missed my battleship.
Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah yesterday.
People are scared to death of the IRS. Most people hate the IRS. And, to have politics going on in an agency that should be above politics is really difficult to put up with. And that's why we've asked for this information, and we intend to get it.
Yeah.
It's because they were conducting politics while pretending to be,
Right. social
whatever
welfare groups. Again, no one has answered my question on that either. What exactly? What exact form of social welfare are you doing?
Well, we're helping the tri-corner hat industry.
That's true.
Thanks.
Okay.
That helps.
Oh, Representative Daryl Issa, Republican of California.
This is a problem that was coordinated in all likelihood right out of Washington headquarters. And
really?
We're getting
Washington
to proving
headquarters.
It.
Yes.
Oh, we're getting?
We're getting around to creating some phony evidence. That's what
they
said for 2 years during Whitewater. We're getting around to proving that there was a land deal.
Vince Foster was killed by space aliens.
Yeah. Well, I hope at least maybe they'll finally get to the bottom of that Christmas card thing in the Clinton White House through this somehow. There's got to be some connection. Okay, Mark Everson, a former IRS commissioner yesterday.
There's a lot we don't know, and that will come out, obviously, over time through the hearings and the Justice Department investigation, but what we do know is quite disturbing.
You know, there must be fire. It's like the smoke is coming out of Daryl Issa's ass. That's where it's from. The smoke he's blowing out of his ass.
Actually, he's blowing it up other people's head. You know,
right. It's like one of those dry ice, you know.
Explosions.
Right, that they used to... Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, once again, no there. 46 minutes after this. See, I'm so upset I don't even know what time it is. Call Randy Rose and ask her what time it is.
47 after.
47 after now. That's right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Here I go again. My, how can I resist you? Mama. Stephanie Miller. Now I really know.
My, I could never let you go. No.
I don't know what I'm saying, because I only speak Swedish. How could I resist you?
52 minutes after the hour. I know, it's one of the enduring questions of the universe. How can people with thick accents sing, and they sound completely...
Except for the
the
absence of the voiced, what would that be, linguid dental fricative, z.
Excuse me? That sounds dirty.
Really?
It does sound dirty. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP, right. We have 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Yes, breaking news.
Yeah, we have a little bit of sad breaking news. Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey has died. He was the oldest member of the Senate, and he died this morning at 89.
Oh. Yeah, one of the good guys.
All
right, Frank in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering how much taxpayer money did it cost us for John McCain to go over there to Syria and pal around with the terrorists and kidnappers?
Yeah. Inadvertently. Oh, Grampy. Yeah. No,
Grandpa,
I mean...
did you sit on the pie again?
I sure hope so.
Grandpa, did you have one of the finger-cutting-off rebels pull your finger? Oh, Grandpa.
I sure hope not.
Pull
my finger! No! Pull it off!
You know what? That's a good question, though, with all this screaming about tax money, whether it's the IRS or whatever. Not only do I think it borders on treason, but are we paying for that? I don't get how, when you're not an elected official, you're able to go and criticize our government's policy... Yeah, with whatever, some rebel kidnappers. Oh, Grampy. Doug in St. Charles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the air on Eric Holder. Hello, Doug.
Yes, good morning, Steph, once again, and Mooks. You
good
guys,
morning.
I enjoy your show every single day.
Thank you.
I think Eric Holder should be removed, and not because of the stuff that they're going on about now, but because of his lack of prosecution of the financial industry, especially the lack of prosecution of people who've been fraudulently foreclosing on people or doing document, changing the documents on it. I cannot understand how he got on, and it's on YouTube. You guys have seen it.
Yeah.
Where he says, well, we're not going to go after them because it could cause some kind of problem down the stream on these institutions. The problem is the people in charge of these institutions. When you take away the public's faith in the institutions as far as in government and private industry, you're doing more damage to those.
I hear you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Jim, go ahead.
About 8,000 people have been arrested for protesting the banksters. None of the actual banksters have been prosecuted, as far as I know.
Very few of them. I would be with you on that if there's a chance that Elizabeth Warren could then be appointed. whenever I hear her talk about this, yeah.
I love Elizabeth Warren. I think that she would, her and Sherrod Brown, people like this, and Bernie Sanders would go a long way to cleaning this mess up. If they could get by the fact that the political system has been completely corrupted by the cash inflows from the lobbyists and the business interests of this country.
Yep, I hear you. All right. Representative Marsha Blackburn, noted feminist, on taking a break. We've been joking all morning about her. Jim, you need to read more 50s ads.
Yep.
She said that women don't want equal pay laws.
Of course not. No.
It's ridiculous.
They want to submit to their husbands.
Right, like Michelle Bachmann does. Okay, Representative Blackburn on Eric Holder.
I think that the Attorney General has definitely lost the trust of the American people. When you are out in my district, people feel betrayed by the conduct of this administration and this Attorney General.
I'm not certain that's true. That's what Michelle Bachmann said. I'm in my district, all anyone wants to talk about is why haven't we already impeached him?
That's not true.
Right. Okay. Chuck Schumer yesterday was one of the headlines supporting Eric Holder.
There have been all kinds of accusations, but I haven't seen anything that would prevent him from continuing to do his job.
Well, I think that's the problem with ICE and this, you know, boy who cried wolf kind of thing. They've been screaming about everything that Eric Holder's done, and
Fast and furious.
Right. Right. Josh Earnest, once again, on the...
These kinds of criminal investigations are the kinds of things that are initiated by the Department of Justice and are not subject to any sort of political or White House influence.
That's true.
Troy in Buffalo on Daryl Issa. Hello, Troy.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I watch you every day.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get your opinion on, I don't know if you're aware, but the episode of America's Book of Secrets that's on the History 2 channel had a story, Presidential Cover-Ups was the title of the episode. And in the description, it says, uncover the stories behind the greatest White House scandals from Iran-Contra to Benghazi. I watched this.
Oh,
Daryl Issa
right.
is on the screen
uh-huh.
talking about how much of a scandal it is. At the same time, they're still doing the hearings.
Yeah,
Troy,
the History Channel is kind of a joke now because they do very little history.
Troy, would you like to do the honors for the kids listening as to what Iran-Contra was and how serious it was? Would you like to just give us a little?
They killed people. They sold guns. Reagan sold guns.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan knew about it, but they gave North the boot and blamed him for it all, and they basically sold guns so they could get the money to fund some other war.
Well, yeah, we were supporting.
The government wouldn't pay to topple some dictator.
Meanwhile, as we've said, while tragic, Benghazi is one incident. There were 60 people killed at embassies when George Bush was president. There was not one quote-unquote scandal. There is no scandal. It's not a scandal. There's no there about Benghazi. I can't even, just the name is starting to like, PTSD.
Sure.
Right. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all here. Executive producer Chris the Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Beth did from Minneapolis with an unsolicited testimonial. Steph just wanted to end the week with a positive. Well, this was last week. With a positive story lauding your great sponsor, TheraBreath.
Oh.
And she has included a helpful picture of a woman blowing flame out of her mouth, which presumably was her before TheraBreath.
Sure.
It may have saved my marriage. Oh, heavens. For a long time, my husband kept telling me I had bad breath. He thought there might be something systemically wrong with me. I went to the dentist 3 times. Each time I asked the dentist what was wrong, he said there was no hint of bad breath, nor could he find anything that might create bad breath. This was discouraging, since I continued to use breath mints, mouthwash, etc., to no avail. I bought TheraBreath after I heard you talk about it. Good girl! It worked when nothing else did. Now we're a happy couple who no longer argues about bad breath. Stephanie Miller, TheraBreath, Marriage Saver.
Yay!
Why, thank you, Beth. All right. Speaking of delightful, Jackie Schechner, by the way, will be filling in tomorrow with Hal Sparks.
Yep.
For me, because I'm giving a speech down in San Diego.
Yes.
So
Jim and I will be here as well.
Yes, everybody play nicely tomorrow. In the meantime, let's do a corner. There she is.
Imagine reading news. I do. I think she gets him in the night,
right,
and burns the lights. The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
She does the news.
So happy it's Schechner.
We're always so happy it's Schechner. Hello.
One of those nights where I was like wide awake at 11:45, oh, putting together my news for the morning. And
right.
Burn not happy.
I understand. Uh-oh. Bitch. All right. All right. Shake
you're
it off.
Usually the one up at that hour.
Yes,
you
I know.
You know, I mean, ridiculous stuff in the middle of the night.
I know. I always get the, what were you doing up when you texted me at blah, blah, blah? I'm like, oh, you know, cursing my life. So we were just mentioning to you at the top of the hour, because obviously we talk about this all the time, but I don't know if you read this piece in the New York Times, but, I mean, they specifically highlighted colonoscopies, but Jim was, you know, talking earlier about how much, and you say this is always the problem, is the cost of healthcare mm-hmm. underneath everything else, but the headline is colonoscopies explain why the U.S. leads the world in health expenditures, and as we keep saying, not for better results, right?
No, it's a good example of how, because we have such a for-profit medical industrial complex, that a lot of times we end up just spending more money than necessary on tests that don't necessarily prove to be any more effective. And because everybody's haggling over ways to make money off of this process. I mean, we're not voluntary consumers of the healthcare market. That's something that we have to always keep in mind. People aren't like, hey, I have nothing to do today. Let's go for a colonoscopy.
Right. Well, and you were, we've talked about this too, about how there's no uniformity. And just in this New York Times piece, you know, there's talking about one person's colonoscopy in, Long Island was 6,000 something. Somebody else in New Hampshire 7,000 something. 9,000 in Chappaqua, New York.
Completely arbitrary.
Right.
Yeah.
And then this one, wow, in Durham, North Carolina, almost $20,000. You know, and they're saying while their insurers negotiated down the price, the final tab for each test was more than $3,500. And somebody was saying, you know, you always think, oh, it's free because I have insurance, and it's obviously not free.
Oh, of course not. No, and the prices are totally vary depending on who the payer is, whether it's you're paying out of pocket, whether you've got an insurance company paying, whether it's Medicare paying or Medicaid. I mean, it all depends on who's shelling out the money, because these prices have all been negotiated. But everybody's making money, right? The doctor's making money, the facility's making money, the medical device manufacturers are making money. Every step along the way, somebody's profiting off of this, and so they're going to always try and maximize their profits. And
that's the American way.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, this is what's, you know, honestly infuriating when you read the details of this, Jackie. It's in the New York Times piece. In many other developed countries, a basic colonoscopy costs just a few $100s and certainly well under $1,000.
The entire healthcare system is infuriating. It's one of the reasons why after I fought for reform, I left the country for a little while, because I was tired of being so angry all the time.
Yeah.
It is infuriating every step along the way, because we not only subsidize drug prices for other countries where their governments are allowed to negotiate drug prices, that's why we pay so much more for drugs, but also with all of these resources and facilities and medical devices and procedures that aren't necessarily more effective. They're just newer and shinier and more expensive.
Well, and that's exactly it. As you recall, that's what's infuriating. We were having this debate, the right wing saying, we have the best health care in the world. It's like, people come here. It's like, no, we have the most expensive health care in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you talk about comparative effectiveness research, one of the things that they want to do within the confines of healthcare reform is to be able to do testing to figure out whether or not these new devices and procedures are actually more effective. It's called comparative effectiveness research. And you know what that turned into? Death panels and bureaucrats.
Yeah.
like it gets all twisted, and it's really just a practical solution to some of our financial problems within the system.
Well, you know, New York Times again saying that that chasm in price helps explain why the U.S. is far and away the world leader in medical spending, even though numerous studies have concluded Americans do not get better care, whether directly from their wallets or through insurance policies. Americans pay more for almost every interaction with the medical system. They're typically prescribed more expensive procedures and tests than people in other countries, no matter if those nations operate a private or a national health care system. I mean, just that sentence is stunning, right?
Yeah, I mean, we spend 20% of our gross domestic product. I think the New York Times article said 18, but I've heard recently it's up to 20% on health care. It's absurd the amount of money that we waste. The other thing I just want to mention as we're talking about this is, I don't know if you saw the Ezra Klein post in the Washington Post about the state health exchanges. And we talked about rate shock last week and how prices are actually turning out to be lower within these new state exchanges. Or at least the proposed rates are going to be lower than people expected. And Ezra does a great piece, and CCU and Chris on it so we can help pass it around. But it explains why if you try to navigate the private health insurance system, it's so treacherous, and why these exchanges are not serving more than 10% of the population, but are going to be so essential when they first get started to help people who don't otherwise have access to health insurance. And it breaks it down in a very easy way to understand, and it's something that we need to pass around, I think, to help combat some of the misinformation on the right, because they're very, very good at the viral email misinformation. And so Ezra's piece is a good way for us to help other people understand how these exchanges are helpful, especially for people who are trying to navigate their system on their own as opposed to getting health insurance through work.
Here are some more fun facts for the America crowd. the U.S. came out the most costly in all 21 categories in healthcare.
We're number one!
And often by a huge margin. Americans pay on average about four times as much for hip replacement as patients in Switzerland or France, and more than three times as much for a cesarean section as those in New Zealand or Britain. Jim just had one yesterday, and it was hugely expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I had two, actually.
Right.
It was a sale.
Yeah, it was a twofer. It was a twofer.
Two cesareans.
Yeah.
The average price
on the side.
The average price for Nasonex, a common nasal spray for allergies, is $108 in the U.S. I just got allergy spray, so I can confirm this. Compared with $21 in Spain, the cost of hospital stays here are about triple in those of other developed countries. The U.S. pays providers of healthcare much more for everything, is according to one expert. I mean,
why am I paying $1,000 for an aspirin?
Right.
How does that work?
Right.
Oh, we know why? Because it's subsidized in other countries. I mean, because we're subsidizing other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because other countries can negotiate drug prices with drug companies, and we actually have passed laws against it.
Huh.
So, or we've cut deals. I don't know if we passed laws, but
we could
cut deals against it.
If only we could sell to the right wing that's helping Ferners, they might be on our side with this. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I heard a great story when I was in Spain that the King of Spain had an operation in a public hospital and actually reimbursed the hospital and the people for the amount of security and rooms that were taken up by his stay in the public hospital.
Hmm.
So not only was the king using the same facilities as everybody else, but reimbursing the public for the expenditures of that stay because it was public money and it needed to be reimbursed.
Now we definitely know that the King of Spain isn't a Republican.
Well, I was going to say, it's not like our leaders here aren't consistent. I know all the Republicans have refused their public health care.
Oh, sure.
They've all turned the federal, it's the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program. It's subsidized by taxpayer money. They apparently,
they seem okay with that.
Really problematic with that.
Right, right. Jim, I know you've had colonoscopies. I have not, but it's interesting. I think the other thing that's troubling in this, Jackie, in the New York Times piece, says the high price for colonoscopies mostly results not from top-notch patient care, but from business plans seeking to maximize revenue, haggling between hospitals and insurers that have no relation to the actual costs of performing the procedure, lobbying, marketing, turf battles among specialists that increase patient fees. But at any rate, the point they're saying is while several cheaper and less invasive tests to screen for colon cancer are recommended as equally effective by the federal government's expert panel on preventative care and are commonly used in other countries, colonoscopy has become the go-to procedure.
Colonoscopy?
In the U.S.
That's when they remove Colin Farrell from your arse?
We've defaulted by far to the most expensive option without much, if any, data to support it, according to a doctor, commenting on this study. I mean, that's kind of troubling, right?
Well, you know what else? is troubling is it's not pleasant to prepare for a colonoscopy.
No.
And also, as Jenna said before,
there is a better option. Let's do that first.
But also,
but as Jenna said, it's invasive and things can go wrong.
Yes, it can.
You can puncture your colon.
Exactly, and then you've got real problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all that safe.
Yeah, but
I mean, there just seems to be, if there are other options, then we absolutely should be exploring those as well, I guess, pun intended.
And
but
you start to
around
think,
for a solution?
Is this some kind of...
I mean, look, we talk about the insurance companies and the medical loss ratio and how they have to spend 80% of your premiums on medical care with the Affordable Care Act, right? But it's not, I mean, as much as I despise the insurance companies, it's not just their fault.
No, exactly.
I mean, people are making so much money off of our healthcare system. It is the hospital. And it is the device manufacturers, and it is the drug companies, and everybody's getting a piece of the pie. And I think what's so frustrating is that, again, and I'll just sum this up, is that we don't choose to participate in the healthcare system voluntarily. Like, you don't decide.
Well, but that part is infuriating, too. I mean, when you feel like it's a cruel joke in a way, you know, it's like Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz. I could have gone home anytime I wanted to. You mean you didn't have to shove something up my ass? I mean,
no.
You know?
Now you tell me.
No, great. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I don't even know what the latest are on mammograms, you know, that they're saying, oh, yeah, there might be. Really? You didn't have to put my in a ringer for many years? There might be something else.
I would argue that the larger problem with mammograms, actually, are that insurance companies aren't willing. Well, insurance companies aren't willing to cover them for women under 40. Mm. And there are a lot of women who have family histories who should be having these sorts of tests earlier.
Right.
And they can't get coverage for them because the insurance companies say statistically they shouldn't have to cover them before that age. But
Angelina,
you can catch it a lot younger.
Yeah, you know, Angelina Jolie made her first appearance this weekend publicly, and obviously people still talking about that, and her aunt just died, and I know her, the aunt's family said, we wish we'd known about this, or we didn't, you know, they might have done the same thing, and I think you're right, it's information, but it's all of those things that, like you say, have nothing to do with healthcare that are.
Yeah, we have to do a lot better when it comes to figuring out what's necessary and what's not necessary. And, you know, a lot of times you look at something like that and you say, is it cheaper for the insurance company to allow for the testing for this gene that would, you know, determine whether or not somebody is susceptible to breast cancer or to treat them for breast cancer?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to talk about money, it's actually cost saving to test somebody and go forward that way. And not to mention, of course, the physical and emotional toll.
Yeah.
But if you want to go from a financial perspective, it actually makes a lot more sense. It makes a lot more sense to have preventive, you know, birth control available than to have to support somebody having a baby.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually want to have a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at you. You got in a little pro-choice thing there at the very end of the corner, a little politics. All right. Jackie Schechner, another fabulous corner. Thank you, honey.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yay. All right, there you go. See you at the top of the hour, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The things you learn in the break.
The things that Chris says to me right before we come back from commercial. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, we just were, you know, had a healthcare corner with Jackie.
Right.
Talking about cancer and this piece in the New York Times. It is infuriating that it's just what we're paying for healthcare.
That's
and
right.
Colonoscopy may not even be, you know, it's not really the best screening mechanism, and it's very invasive, as you know Jim's been talking about, and you can, you know, colon can be punctured, there's all sorts of stuff, and it's just infuriating that it's because it's that we've defaulted to the most expensive option because people are making money off of
That's
it
right.
And it's anyway, so we just led to a whole discussion about cancer, but I had not heard that breaking news
over the weekend,
because I, as you know, I'm currently obsessed with Behind the Candelabra.
Yes.
So I can only picture Michael Douglas having sex with Matt Damon.
He's actually not gay.
Right. I know that. I understand that he's an actor.
For the last 2 years of his life, he's been fighting throat cancer.
Yeah.
And he now says that he contracted it not through drinking or smoking like most people thought, but through oral sex.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With women.
Women.
Right.
Well, I mean,
yes,
he's straight.
Yes.
So
the,
right. Yes.
He says he got the HPV virus through oral sex.
Which is the cause of cervical cancer. And,
right.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. That is his opinion. It's not necessarily all doctors' opinions that you can...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's his opinion.
Be interested if there's any doctors listening. That's... Okay, that's a GTK. As we were talking to Jackie about it in the New York Times piece, New York Times saying the U.S. spends about 18% of its GDP on healthcare. Jackie's saying she thinks it's closer. It's actually closer to 20.
Yeah.
Either one is astounding. It just, you know, you have to take a second to digest that. It's nearly twice as much as most other developed countries. And again, we're not getting better care. The CBO has said that if medical costs continue to grow unabated, quote unquote, total spending on health care would eventually account for all of the country's economic output. I mean, honestly, not just it's a political dream, but do you think we might get to single payer just because this is not sustainable? And it's, you know. I mean, they're quoting, you know, like person after person in this article. With health insurance premiums eating up ever more of her paycheck, one woman decided to forego physical therapy for an injury sustained during Hurricane Sandy because of high out-of-pocket expenses. And people are making those decisions all over the country. And we shouldn't have to in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway. All right, so we were mentioning that Angelina Jolie returned to the red carpet for the first time yesterday, mm-hmm. Weeks after announcing that she'd undergone a double mastectomy in February. Angelina Jolie.
I'm very happy just to see the discussion about women's health expanded, and that means the world to me. And after losing my mom to these issues, I'm very grateful for it. And I've been very moved by the kind of support from people. Really very grateful for it.
Yeah. And Jim, I know you were saying that you and your wife were talking about it when it first happened, and because I know it seemed extreme to a lot of people, but did you change your mind upon learning about
when her aunt had died from that?
But we were talking. Jackie was saying about, you know, that's another one of the problems with the system is that women under 40 should get even mammograms at least, you know, because there are other tests. Her aunt's family said if they had had this information, they might have made the same choice to do a preventative mastectomy, but you know, they didn't know in time. Yeah.
And it's a lot of medical procedures involve radiation, which can actually trigger cancers, too. So that's kind of a double-edged sword. You don't want to have too many procedures that involve radiation.
Well, or expensive ones that are maybe unnecessary and invasive. As I was saying, the biggest thing to me in this New York Times piece is that colonoscopies may not be the most effective, but because they're the most expensive one and people make the most money off of them, that's what's recommended here. Marla in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marla, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Listen to you all the time, and
I love you. Thank you.
You're great. All of you.
Thank you.
I have a question. When is San Diego going to get smart and vote ISA out?
Well, it's up to the people of his district. It's not up to
I know.
We wish you well.
All of the people of San Diego. So.
I'm going down to San Diego tomorrow to give a speech. I'll give a few people a talking to, see what I can do.
Oh, please do. He's trying to bring everybody down from the post office to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Marla, what irritates me the most, it just doesn't matter what issue you take every day. Like, for instance, yesterday, the president talking about student loan rates are set to double in a month. That affects a lot of real people's real future. And ICE is busy having his how many Benghazi hearing and this hearing and that hearing. It's ridiculous.
You know, you hear Benghazi. My husband doesn't even listen to politics, and he hears Benghazi, and he's going crazy.
Me too.
But I do have to say one thing. He talked to an older lady.
Oops.
And she's a Republican, and he was telling her what the Republicans are doing, and she was agreeing, and she said she was gonna, because we vote tomorrow for the Joanne Emerson seat, and she said she was gonna vote Democrat.
All right, one at a time. Here we go, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, of the handful of women, she's the only one I have ever found tolerable.
Well, what about
Stephanie Miller?
The statement stands for itself.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. This hour brought to you by Big Commerce. By the way, the president I was talking about, while they had their endless hearings and scandal-palooza on the quasi-scandals, student loan rates are set to double in a month, the president.
It fails to lock in low rates for students next year. That's not smart. It eliminates safeguards for lower income families. That's not fair. It could actually cost a freshman starting school this fall more over the next 4 years than if we did nothing at all.
Yeah, I just went to my friend's daughter's high school graduation. Mm-hmm. She's going to NYU in the fall.
Yikes.
That's right. Not cheap.
No, it's not cheap.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know what the Republicans called that? Rejected it? Oh, that's needlessly partisan. Really? Helping all kids go to college, no matter what,
Yeah, well, having kids be educated is partisan because they want dumb people to vote for them.
Right, to vote for the Gohmerts of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
How dumb do you have to be to vote for a Gohmert?
Gotta be real.
Herp, derp, doy.
Exactly.
Anna Marsha Blackburn.
Both herp, derp, and doy. Hello, David in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi, how are
Hi.
You?
Good, go ahead.
I did my doctoral dissertation on the concept of ideology, and I just wanted to point out that the Republicans are no longer conservative by any measure of that term. They have become reactionary. Mm-hmm. They want to go backwards, mm-hmm. especially when you consider the comments of somebody like Marsha Blackburn, their stand on evolution, their hostility to science, all kinds of other stands that they take. These people now want to go backwards to the way things were in another era.
Right.
And if they get any further to the right, my contention is they might as well don jackboots and swastikas because there's no place to go other than to a fascist or
orientation. All right, let's leave that for them, the Hitler analogies, I think.
Well, fascism isn't... Okay. I mean, that more precisely correlates with Mussolini, who invented it.
Right. We apologize for calling you Hitler worshippers. We meant Mussolini. Okay. Actually, this thing, progress thing, Chris, kind of backs that up. GOP yeah. survey of young people reveals they support progressive policies.
Oh, dear.
Another demographic.
Yeah, they're running out of old people.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Republicans threw good money at that.
Oops. Find out what we already knew. Ruh-roh. Yeah, the more and more I read in this New York Times piece, the madder I get, the whole health care.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we keep talking about why. Why does health care cost so much when we get so little for our money here? And these are all the reasons. And, obviously they're talking about us as compared to other countries. Jim, I was saying that, and again, it's different everywhere. You can pay up to $20,000 for a colonoscopy here. It's well under $1,000 in any other country.
Else.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons, obviously, United States has relatively high rates of obesity, limited access to routine care for the poor, a major factor behind the high cost in the U.S., we do not generally regulate or intervene in medical pricing, aside from setting payment rates for Medicare and Medicaid, the government programs for older
people. That would
be
un-American.
And the poor.
To intervene.
But that's what we keep saying, is that's the part that works. That's why Medicare for all would be the best solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
obviously.
One part that works in our country.
That's right.
Yes. Anyway, one doctor said, in the U.S., we like to consider health care a free market, but it's a very weird market, riddled with market failures. So this is not some fine, shining example of
yes,
the free market.
Market failures. We're right. number one.
Right. How about this? Even doctors often do not know the costs of the tests and procedures they prescribe. In what world does that make sense? When Dr. Michael Collins, an internist in East Hartford, Connecticut, called the hospital he's affiliated with to price lab tests and a colonoscopy, he could not get an answer. It's impossible for me to think about cost, he said. If you go to the supermarket and there's no prices, how can you make intelligent decisions? Really? How are the rest of us supposed to navigate this when doctors can't
right.
navigate? Yeah. Instead, payments are often determined in countless negotiations between a doctor, hospital, pharmacy, and an insurer, with the result often depending on their relative negotiating power. Insurers have a limited incentive to bargain forcefully since they can raise premiums to cover costs. It all comes down to market share, and very rarely is anyone looking out for the patient, said another doctor in here, which people think it's like other purchases, that if you pay more to get you get a better car, but in medicine it's not like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll post the piece from
sure.
the New York Times, because it'll make you mad.
Would you like the Kia colonoscopy or the Mercedes colonoscopy?
I'd like a Mercedes, please.
Thank you. Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the
Stephanie. Do I get satellite radio?
So I can listen to Stephanie Miller?
Yes.
Hi, Robert.
On Sirius Left 127.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, if you want to, and you all need to read A Bitter Pill, that was a cover article in Time magazine, if you want to be more infuriated.
Awesome.
I'm a healthcare practitioner, and every healthcare practitioner out there can make money off the Medicare fee schedules. It's like a 15 to 20% profit, and we can all live on a 15 to 20% profit margin. The rates that hospitals are charging and various medical practices are charging right now, and the private insurance companies are paying these rates are just nuts, absolutely nuts. And we can do something about it. We just need to, collectively get together.
Right, and that's, Robert, as, the New York Times is pointing out, I think, is the fallacy that we don't sort of have the incentive to, try to shop for stuff that's cheaper. We're like, oh, my insurance covers it. And meanwhile, then it always comes back to bite us in the ass, right? Because we our insurance premiums go up and up and up. And, as I was talking about, the other thing is we were talking about that because we don't cover everybody, we're all paying for people that have no insurance. I mean, that's exactly why we needed the Affordable Care Act, right?
Well, and the irony is that, Texas has turned down expanding their Medicaid, and what's going to happen is the state's going to end up having to pay for all those indigent patients that are going through the emergency rooms, and it's Rick Perry is screwing himself, and it's, yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't be the first time. All right, let's go to Elizabeth in Chicago, is a doctor. Hello, Elizabeth, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mook.
Hey, Doc. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, yes, I am a doctor, and I'm just calling because I actually was in a conference about through a managed care HMO kind of program, and there was a senator speaking about why insurance is or why medical care in this country is so high, and he said it's actually due to a lawsuit in the 1940s from Blue Cross to the state of Florida. And Blue Cross won, and it was regarding health care premiums. And they said because of that case, all health care premiums would be paid pre-tax dollars. So companies had to pay that money. And his talk was actually about car manufacturing. He said the price of health care brings our manufacturing of cars up so high because it has to be done that way. And actually, we make cars in this country cheaper than anywhere besides that.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other countries, first world countries, looked at that and said that's an unsustainable system. So they've all created universal health care, in the 40s and 50s, and they are, of course, doing much better on their medical care. I want to make one more point about that. I read that article in the New York Times, and I want to make the point that is because universal health care. We are able to get that data about those colonoscopies because it exists, because someone is starting to look at, let's look at all the people in Medicare getting colonoscopies. What is the difference? What is happening? So that's all new stuff. So even though everyone's furious about it, we need to know that that is things that are going to be able to be made changes.
I mean, it's so Byzantine, Doc, in the sense that, what do you say to that patient in Durham, North Carolina? Why is my colonoscopy $19,000? And why is it, even though, I mean, that's outrageous, but it's also outrageous that it's $7,000 in, I don't know, New Hampshire or whatever that story was, right?
But absolutely. I mean, it's madness. And another point is, and I've unfortunately been in the position from having health care to not having health care, and people really do need to go negotiate right now with systems because they will still charge an individual the cost that an insurance company would have negotiated down. So actually, as paying, like Jackie Sechner was saying, you still have to pay, even though the insurance is covering something, you have to pay, let's say you pay $200 for that $19,000 colonoscopy. But the other guy who went in without insurance was charged $19,000.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really crazy.
Yeah. What kind of doctor are you?
Internal medicine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That means pediatrics for an adult, for people who don't know.
Got it. Understand. Understood. No lollipops. I understand.
Yes.
All right. Doc, thanks so much for
calling. Sometimes we would appreciate a lollipop.
Yes, we would like a lolly, please.
To sum up, a colonoscopy will bite you in the ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
Thank you. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate this. Okay.
Especially if we've had a camera up our butt.
Right.
We would like a lolly.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour.
That's the least you can do.
Preferably a bourbon lolly.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The theme this morning, things that are as fishy as the healthcare industry, and that would be the tire industry.
This is another ad from the 1950s where they show a guy cleaning the white wall tires with SOS, you know,
steel wool pads.
Yeah. Oh, darn it, it blew up again.
Now I need new tires.
This message brought to you by Michelin.
All right, 1-800, it's like the studies from Kentucky Fried Chicken saying, guess what's the healthiest food in the world for you?
Fried chicken.
As it turns out.
Fried chicken.
Especially the extra crispy variety.
Right, with extra oil. Okay, let's go.
It's the lardiest.
Carol. Carol in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was just listening to your program, which I love.
Thank you.
And I decided that the healthcare system is becoming just more of a business than anything. I went through a revolving door of mammograms because they thought they saw something, and then they came back and said, well, it's probably our new digital readout thing or whatever, so come back in 6 months. And I went through this for a couple of years.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just like, I'm done. I'm fine. You say I'm fine after every test you put me through.
Right.
And I'm not doing it anymore. And my doctor, I pretty much don't go to the doctor unless, you know, I absolutely would feel like it. It's been probably a year and a half. But I've stopped going through these revolving doors. I just tell them, nope, ain't going to do it. I've gone through colonoscopy where they found a polyp or whatever. Oh, you got to come back in so many, a couple years or something. I'm like, nope, ain't going to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
55 years to get that one polyp.
And also, you know, they keep prescribing all these medications, and then suddenly, a couple years later, all these lawsuits because of all the side effects.
Absolutely. You see them on TV all the time where, you know, if you took this drug or whatever, you know, it's like, wow.
You may have exploding brain syndrome.
Right, yeah. No, I think I'm on I'm not sure I want to know about Prevacid because I've been taking that for years for acid reflux, and then I'm like, oh boy.
you got
to
be careful.
How fast was that rush to the market without enough research into side effects?
I guess we'll find out when my uvula explodes. Pat in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to tell you about my doctor. I was on medicine for panic attacks, and I went every 3 months for a refill. Mm-hmm. As soon as I went on Medicare, he had me come every month. And I looked at him and said, oh, my God, you're bilking Medicare. Well, the look on that man's face, I said, you know what? I will come every 3 months.
You gave him a panic attack, as it turned out.
Exactly.
Right.
And, I mean, it's
awesome.
Really weird because every time I go, he is so cold now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been going for him for like 20 years.
But, you know, and Pat, like our last caller was just talking about, I mean, what is unfortunate is that some people may not go to a doctor and find out stuff that they do need to find out because of all of, you know, how broken our system is and that people don't trust it and because of your story and stuff like that. I mean, that's what's hard.
Is one little doctor in one little town. How many doctors are doing this?
Yeah. I mean,
and they wonder about the Medicare cost.
It is hard to, I think what is so infuriating is it seems so simple to some of us on, how much simpler Medicare for All would be.
Mm-hmm.
Or a single payer that would take care of all of these problems we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, and how politically impossible that is. You know,
exactly.
We couldn't even get a public option. I mean, it's and look at the little part, like I was saying, Medicare is the one little part of our system that's working. These exchanges look like they're going to work. It looks like healthcare premiums, for instance, out here in California, are lower than expected. So, and those are I actually feel bad, Pat, for because at the end of the day, I don't think as human beings, any of us are really that partisan. I feel bad for the people that live in red states that are going to suffer. You know,
exactly.
Because
actually, I do go back every 3 months because I just, you know, I guess he just thought, because I threatened to write a letter to the editor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, It was like I was so upset with them. I told them I have never been so disappointed in anybody in my life.
But, I mean, you know, when you live in, whether it's, you know, Rick Perry's state or whatever, you know, one of these governors, that just because they don't like the president and they may have political ambitions of their own, they're going to block, you know, whether it's Medicaid funds or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, or not going to help with their exchanges. And it's infuriating.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. And, yeah, unfortunately, demographically not good news for the Republic. I'm glad they spent money on this. I thought they were fiscal conservatives. I could have told them young people hate them. GOP survey of young people reveals they support progressive policies.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
They threw good money at that. All right.
The College Republican National Committee, is there even a reason for that to exist, I guess?
Well, yeah, there are college Republicans.
Right,
they're usually
there are.
The douches, but, right. You know.
Well, they ought to rename it the committee, at least. They released a report Monday outlining the major challenges facing the GOP as it seeks to rebrand and redefine itself in the aftermath of the 2012 election. The survey criticizes the party's singular focus on big government and tax cuts and calls on Republicans to become more tolerant and open on issues like same-sex marriage and women's...
More tolerant? How can we be more tolerant? That's crazy.
And women's reproductive health. A close reading, though, of the 900-page report finds that young people have strong disagreements with Republican policies, including large parts of former candidate Mitt Romney's platform, and are far more likely to support progressive positions.
Well, then, they're Democrats.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right. I was telling you my friend was having a discussion with her dad, who says he's Republican, and he agreed with her on everything.
Right.
And she's like, you know what we call that kind of Republican? A Democrat.
Yeah.
Ask Lincoln Chafee. I'm just saying. Would you like the fun facts from the
sure.
Report? Oh dear, they spent good money for this. let's see. They disagree with. But yes, most of them. Mitt Romney's platform, as I just said, far more likely to support progressive positions. Number one, GOP. Here's 11 examples. GOP economic policies are to blame for the recession. Lower taxes will not create jobs. Increase taxes on the wealthy. And the attacks on women's reproductive health. I could have told them all of this were free. Expand universal health coverage? Why, that's what we've been talking about all morning.
Wow.
Provide comprehensive immigration reform. How about that?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that?
Were these actually published in a Republican study?
Yes.
This is hysterical.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Marco.
Rubio.
I think this is his latest idea, is let's take, border security away from the Department of Homeland Security and the White House and let Congress do it. Because people don't trust the president or the White House or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard of. Really? Let Congress decide on what border...
Security is part of the executive branch.
For God's sakes, really?
That's not...
Well, the Homeland... How about we let the Homeland Security Department, you know, secure the homeland? There's just a...
Yeah,
thought.
Executive branch. I don't think Rubio knows how the government works.
Cut the defense budget first. Democrats are more responsive on student loans. Just think. Climate change is real. Bush's wars blew up the deficit and marriage equality for all. That was the conclusion of the study that they paid
for. They kind of wish they hadn't done that, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And college Republicans describe the face of today's GOP. Close-minded, racist, rigid, old-fashioned.
Yeah, that's what college Republicans
win.
Think of the Republican Party.
Okay.
College Republicans.
All right.
Yeah.
Again, all free. 58 minutes, unless you buy the Stephcast, which I also recommend. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, we're in a nostalgic mood this morning. What with Marsha Blackburn, a Republican of Tennessee, please and thank you, Tea Party member, saying on Meet the Press yesterday that women don't want equal pay.
Of course not.
Laws.
Their place is the kitchen.
Crazy. Yeah, so Jim has been reading ads from the 1950s.
Oh, here's some from the 40s, even. Schlitz. There's a woman who's obviously burned the dinner, and she's crying, and the husband comes to her and says, "Don't worry, darling, you didn't burn the beer." Another one from the 1940s. This is, you know, during the war, and women, you know, going to work, and soldiers need our help. Gather around, American woman. Turns out you gals are useful after all.
Oh. Yeah, Stephanie, turns out you're useful after all.
That's awesome.
And there's the ketchup
Careful,
ad.
Careful, it ain't 1953 up in here, my friend.
That's true.
Go ahead.
There's a ketchup ad with a screw top, and the woman is saying with her
eyes, you know, popping out of her head. You mean a woman can open it? And then there's a footwear ad from the 70s. Says, keep her where she belongs. And she's lying on the floor naked looking at a shoe.
As most of us
sure.
do.
Sure.
That's what I'm doing all day when I'm not here.
And, of course, Christmas time is always great for women from the 50s. Christmas morning, she'll be happier with a Hoover. And she's like,
yeah, because the first thing
vacuum.
You do...
Depends on what attachments.
On Christmas morning.
What?
Yeah.
Is vacuum.
Or something for Benson and Hedges. Guy smoking... It looks like right out of Mad Men. He's got a tumbler with booze in it and a cigar. It says, a woman is only a woman, but a good cigar is a smoke.
Right.
Benson
See, that's why I don't finish
Panadilla.
My show prep some days, because I'm too busy lying on my kitchen floor naked with my Hoover.
Sure.
Looking at a shoe.
And there's an ad for Van Heusen. Show her it's a man's world.
Right.
For men only. Brand new. Man talking. Power pack patterns that tell her it's a man's world.
Right.
And make her happy it is. And the woman's kneeling on the floor serving him breakfast in bed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Thank
I
you,
love
Marshall
this
Blackburn.
One. Mm-hmm. This is from Hardee's. I think it's from the 50s. Yeah, Hardee's Carl's Jr. out here. No, it's from the 40s. There's a picture of a woman in the kitchen looking dad outside the window. Women don't leave the kitchen. We all know a woman's place is in the home, cooking a man a delicious meal. But if you're still enjoying the bachelor's life and don't have a little miss waiting on you, then come down to Hardee's for something sloppy and hastily prepared.
All right. And my personal favorite is the picture of the husband spanking the wife because she forgot to freshness test her coffee.
Something like that, yeah. Freshness test.
Freshness test.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
here's
something.
Although that's the one I, because I like a tiny spanking.
Here's something from the 40s.
Like, oh, no, I forgot what? Again.
Really?
Oh.
The coffee is stale.
Punch.
That is not a light spank.
Wow. That sounds like breaking a board.
Now you ruined it.
And here's something.
That's for spinning. That's how firm my ass is.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's something from the 1940s for a Pitney Bowes postage meter. And the guy's complaining to this woman for some reason. Is it always illegal to kill a woman? Yeah, pretty much. Last time I checked.
Women don't want to live in a world where it's illegal to kill them if they have it coming.
If they burn the dinner?
Okay. All right. That winded me a little bit. So, in a related story, I have to say, and I never thought I would give a to a woman on Fox and want a gay marrier, but now I do.
She's
Megyn
kinda
Kelly.
Hot.
Megyn Kelly, come on down.
She's kind of hot and she's smart.
But this was awesome because this was a big study. Last week we were talking about that they did a new study. All the men in those ads would just explode.
Yeah.
But that 4 out of 10 households are the women are the main breadwinner, which caused the men of Fox to lose their collective.
Right.
Okay. And so anyway, Megyn Kelly had two of her Fox colleagues on. She took them to the woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
She had to talk about their comments in response to Eric Erickson and Lou Dobbs making controversial comments. About a Pew study finding 40% of American households have a mother as a breadwinner. Kelly brought the two of them on her show and proceeded to tear into them. To recap, during a Wednesday evening segment, this is last week, Lou Dobbs, Erickson, Dobbs, and other Fox male contributors lamented Pew's the study's troubling findings.
It was a panel of all men.
Troubling. Mm-hmm. Right, like Daryl Issa's hearing on female reproductive health.
Exactly.
Right.
Chicks can't live with him, can't hit him over the head with an anvil.
Wants to live in a world like that.
That's where you can't hit a woman over the head with an anvil.
They all were lamenting the troubling findings.
Troubling.
Very troubled by the troubling findings. Troubling. Erickson went the farthest in his analysis, claiming it is anti-science to not believe that men are supposed to play the dominant role in the household. The group collectively bemoaned the increase of female breadwinners. In response, Kelly asked, what makes you dominant and me submissive, and who died and made you scientist-in-chief? Rock on, sister!
They replied,
From the Supreme Court, breaking news, we are now awaiting a ruling on California's same-sex marriage ban. It appears that they have a ruling ready.
Now I'm going to start to sweat profusely. So, I'm going to have that problem under my pits again.
Well, keep your arms down.
Yeah. I mean, how am I going to gay marry Megyn Kelly if I do not get satisfaction from the Supreme Court?
All right.
Okay, so here it is.
I'll start with you, Eric. What makes you dominant
and me submissive. And who died made you scientist-in-chief?
Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with submissiveness, per se, and it was certainly poorly constructed how I said it.
We'll tell you, I was offended by your piece, nonetheless. I didn't like what you wrote one bit, and I do think you are judging people. To me, you sound like somebody who's judging but wants to come out and say, I'm not, and now let me judge. And by the way, it's science, and science, and science, it's fact. Well, I mean, I have this is a list of studies saying your science is wrong and your facts are wrong.
Oh,
wow!
Yeah.
Wow! What up, sister? And then, I need some love music. Okay. Then she stood up.
You're going to gay marry
for the
her.
Gays.
Yeah.
When do you hear that on Fox? After reading aloud from Erickson's blog post responding to the controversy in which he railed against homosexual parents and mothers in a dominant breadwinner position, Kelly presented him with counterfactual. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
There is...
Kelly is good when it comes to social issues. She takes Bill O'Reilly on quite a bit when it comes to social issues. She takes the right side.
She also had that classic question election night. Is this just Republican math that makes you feel
exactly.
better when Karl Rove said, no, you're calling it
right.
too soon.
So Megyn Kelly is one of the good-ish people over there on Fox News.
We regret to inform you that Megyn Kelly is no longer working.
We regret to inform you she's disappeared into the dirt hole in the Fox basement. Silence of the mouthy chicks.
Sometimes mouthy chicks have accidents.
Yeah. Get hit with the bags of glaze. She said, there is data in the scientific community to suggest that children of homosexual parents who are happily married and are good parents fare no worse than children of heterosexual couples. And there's plenty of data to suggest that children of working moms as opposed to stay-at-home moms wind up just as healthy and able to thrive in society than the children of stay-at-home mothers. Erickson waved away those findings as self-selective. And then hedged his comments as simply suggesting women cannot have it all and are making compromises by trying to be a mother working 12 hours a day. And trying to balance that with being a good parent. I'm not judging them. No one should. It's just the reality. You are judging them, Kelly shot back. You came out clearly and say women who choose to work instead of staying at home to nurture the children are imposing a worse future on their children. I view it as a statement of fact when you have a mom working full-time and coming home to be a full-time mom as well. It's difficult, and 3/4 of the public agree, he responded. Kelly responded, just because you have people that agree with you doesn't mean it's not offensive. She then pointed out his blog, calling him out for laughing off his critics, including herself, by labeling them feminists and emo liberals. Wow, someone on Fox has been labeled a liberal? She then tore into him once more. I was offended by the piece nonetheless. I don't like what you wrote one bit. I think you're judging people. The thing we just played about, you say you're not judging.
Right.
And
he responded, look over there, Benghazi.
Yeah, he did backtrack quite a bit.
There are a list of studies saying your science is wrong and your facts are wrong. She later pointed to 69 studies over 59 years of research to dispel Erickson's quote-unquote science, asking him, why are we supposed to take your word for it, Eric Erickson's science, instead of all the experts? His dismissive response, I think the experts can be as politically motivated as anyone else.
They're probably chicks.
Right. They're probably chickperts.
Chicks.
They're chickperts. The rest of the conversation was equally tense, with lots of dismissive chuckling coming from Erickson's corner. And at one point, Dobbs calling Kelly, dominant one, in a jokey manner.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I would have loved to see the right after the segment.
Yeah.
The off air, what happened?
Ow!
Quick kick to the nads.
The guy with the ear thing. Ow!
The guy in the earwax commercial on Current. Ow! Because he just got an earful from Megyn Kelly. Ow!
I think we're going to get boxes and boxes of those things now.
I hope so.
Really?
I want to buy everything I see on the...
On Current?
Yes.
Like the
wrinkly hose.
The wrinkly hose.
The wrinkly hose. Yes.
I swear to God, you'll see in my browser, I have it in my thing of list of things to buy.
And all your diabetes supplies?
No, I do not need... I'm not sweet enough. All right. Oh, kids. Mediaite brings us the story. Adorable Cheerios commercial with interracial couple ruined by Nazi YouTube comment.
This is sad.
Well, this is another Are We in 1953 story?
Right.
What the... Whether it's sexism or racism? Mediaite says, despite it being 2013 and fears about miscegenation...
Miscegenation.
Right, exactly. I just thought I'd let
adorable.
You go.
You just leave.
You leave out random syllables. You just gonna skip over. This word's too long. I'm gonna leave out the middle part.
Just shorten it a little. Yeah. Nobody'll notice.
Being largely a thing of the distant past, maybe we need our nostalgia music for this too. The internet's worst troll somehow managed to cause controversy over something as innocuous as a Cheerios commercial featuring a fictional interracial couple and their adorable daughter. They posted the new commercial to their YouTube page. It has since garnered more than 265,000 views, but not without a hefty share of vitriolic racist comments aimed at the company for its portrayal of a multi-race family.
Shocking.
A guy at Adweek said reported that the ad could easily be interpreted as a political statement by those not in tune with the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of American couples who are interracial. He noted that as a result, the YouTube comment section predictably has devolved into an endless flame war with references to Nazis, troglodytes, and racial genocide. At what point will an ad like this just seem normal, he asked. Apparently not right now. Cheerios has closed down the site and scrubbed the comment section. Because apparently,
wow,
we've all gotten in Marsha Blackburn's time machine and gone back to 1953.
And this is why we can't have
nice things. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This is why we can't have nice
cereals. America!
We can't have nice cereals now because of you.
Well, I was never a fan of Cheerios because it wasn't loaded with sugar.
Not sugar.
Yeah. You had to pour the sugar on it. It was like a sandbank of sugar.
I always had a layer of sugar at the bottom of my bowl.
That's why we were fat.
Yes. I was a fat child because of Cheerios.
Because of Cheerios.
Thank you.
I hate them for a totally different reason. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Let's go to Ken in New York. We've been talking healthcare all morning. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Stephanie. You guys were talking about them commercials. I just remember I was watching TV with my aunt back in the 80s or 70s, and they had that irritating ring around the collar commercial.
Ring around the collar. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And my aunt goes, why don't you just have your husband wash his neck?
Wear dark shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a shower, you dirty bastard. Let's go to Cynthia in Tulsa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. FYI, backstory. Years ago, we lived in southern Oklahoma. The doctor would charge on an as could pay basis. She was given all kinds of grief over several years, and finally they told her, if you don't start charging minimum Medicare payments, we will not pay you at all. So the beer doctor had to charge Medicare payments at that point from then on. And that was just so unfair, because where else could you go for $5 or $10 and see a doctor? And she really, but she had to put, bottom line is, she had to put a, I'm sorry, and on the front door.
Yep, I hear you. By the way, this just in from Hotbury, our friend Liz Fitzgerald. Why is maternal mortality so high in the U.S.? The U.S. is one of 23 countries where maternal mortality is on the rise, though that may change once the Affordable Health Care Act comes into effect.
Like dying during childbirth?
Yes. Wow. New York City and California provide a glimpse of why the rates may be so high. The future of pregnant women in the United States is on the threshold of dramatic change. August 1st marks the day insurance providers and Medicaid will be required to cover preventative care for women. But it doesn't stop there. By 2014, health insurance providers will be required to cover the full fee for productive health care, from contraception to postnatal checkups. Imagine life without a copay for annual checkups, birth control visits, and postnatal care. Yet America remains part of an even more exclusive club. It's one of 23 countries where maternal mortality is steadily on the rise. Mm-hmm. The U.S. maternal mortality rates are higher. That is, proportionally more U.S. pregnant women or new mothers are dying than in 49 other countries.
USA! USA!
Yes, another America. Yes. Yes, but again, one of the things that we've been talking about all morning, that the Affordable Health Care Act is designed to address.
Right. Here's a 1950s ad that's made for you, Stephanie.
Oh, yes, please.
Skinny girls are not glamour girls. How to add glamorous curves to your figure.
If you're a normal, healthy, underweight person and are ashamed of your skinny, scrawny figure,
right.
Numal may help you add pounds of... Numal
may
help you add pounds and pounds of firm, attractive flesh to your figure. For Numal, a doctor-approved formula contains essential minerals and vitamins that may aid your appetite. Then you eat more and enjoy what you eat. But that isn't all. Numal contains a food element which also is a great help in putting on weight.
Great.
So don't let them snicker at your skinny, scrawny figure.
Wow.
A skinny, scarecrow figure is neither fashionable nor glamorous. Remember, the girls with the glamorous curves get the dates.
Right. Right. Another reason why I can't catch a man.
We all knew that because you're too skinny.
But right. If you were Christina Hendricks, then
right. That's why there was no spinning in 1953. Okay. Really? They were ever able to sell that to women? Here's something to make you gain weight. Really?
Well, if you're scrawny, you don't have curves.
Sure.
Stephanie, you don't have curves.
You don't have
angular.
Womanly curves.
You have right angles all over the place.
You're too mannish.
Mark in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mark.
Hi, kids.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a critical care nurse. I work at a large nonprofit health care provider in central Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are being put on the rack because the Center for Medicaid and Medicare has issued what's called HCAHPS. It's where part of our reimbursement is based on subjective criteria such as patient satisfaction,
mm-hmm.
which plays a large part in our reimbursement, as well as the objective criteria of patient outcomes and mortality and morbidity rates.
Right.
Now, the thing is, our CEO is getting a seven-figure income,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and we're being told that if we don't meet these patient satisfaction goals, our reimbursements are going to be cut. We won't get any bonuses or raises, or we're going to face higher co-pays for our insurance and everything else.
Right.
And this is part of the problem because the CMMS is looking for ways to actually deny payment for services.
Yeah.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's going on? Why are you being so happy and nice? Are you soaking your tampons in vodka again?
Well, they're on to you.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are waiting. The Supreme Court apparently has made a ruling on Prop 8. We don't know what it is yet, so I don't know what at what point we'll hear that. So
it could be today, could be tomorrow,
yeah.
Could be sometime this week.
Yeah.
Who can say? The Supreme Court never announces when they're going to do things. They just do things.
Exactly. By the way, I'm Rude Pundit. We're going to talk to him next. He has my favorite description of Clarence Thomas ever. Let's talk to him.
Lee Bobbitt, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Rudeness.
Good morning.
You call, let's see, let me, oh, you say the lesson, well, it's another piece you're writing about, but the lesson from Scalia and Roberts and Alito and Scalia's appendage.
It's all he is. Just this thing that's sort of connected to him, and, you know, I don't know who is leeching off of who.
We don't know if it's functional at all.
Who's the barnacle and who's the boat?
If it's functional like a penis or a non-functional like an appendix.
Right.
Who can say?
And who's the rhino and who's the egret? But anyway, my point is, I love that you don't even bother to say Clarence Thomas. You all just know that everyone will know who you mean.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason to. I mean, it's not like he makes any effort to make his presence known.
Yeah. The point of your piece is Antonin Scalia is a and can't be bothered even if you're innocent. Sometimes the expansiveness of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia is breathtaking. And I'm sure we will hear some of that in the Prop 8 ruling, whatever it turns out to be, right?
Right, right. Although it's interesting that Scalia, just today, he joined three of the liberal justices in a dissent on the DNA swab case.
Yeah. Because for people that just tuned in, what was the ruling on that? Explain that.
It was 5-4 saying that taking a DNA swab from somebody who's been arrested is something they can do under the Fourth
right.
Amendment. It's the same thing as fingerprinting or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So they laid down a pretty strict rule for what it means. You can't just be stopped and swabbed, but it's still kind of frightening.
I know we've talked about this before, but I mean, now that it appears the day is here on this Prop 8 ruling, I mean, as you just said, every now and again, justices surprise us. What do you think at the end of the day is going to happen?
Oh, with Prop 8, I think they're going to throw it back to the lower court mm-hmm. and just go with that. I think the big thing is that DOMA is going to fall.
Right.
It just seems like that might even be a bigger, a more one-sided decision. Then,
I know we're all reading tea leaves. Is it significant that it looks like the Prop 8 ruling is going to be first before DOMA?
I think so, and that could be that it was. I mean, you know, who knows? These things when they finally get them written and everything. But it could be that it was an easier thing to come up with because they are throwing it back to the lower courts because of standing and all of that.
Yeah, we've been talking all morning because Marsha Blackburn was on Meet the Press and said that women don't want equal pay laws. And so we've just been reading nostalgic 1950s ads.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
And an interesting Gene Staple. We had lost Gene Stapleton of the classic sitcom All in the Family. But
finally stifled.
Oh, rude, Louise.
Sorry.
Too soon? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that was too soon. I know. I mean, you know, I grew up watching All in the Family.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Why do I Glenn Miller play?
Oh,
I
all mean, right. Yeah, let's play I it. Mean, let's all sing. Come on. You know you want to. Hang on. Here we go. In honor of Gene Stapleton, who passed away at age 90.
Why do I Glenn Miller play?
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
And we knew when you were there.
The result of Jim.
Oh, ouch.
Men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
The Tea Party anthem.
GR on the sour and great. Those were the days.
They had to re-record that last line because
no one knew what they were saying.
Yeah. G.R. Old LaSalle ran great.
G.R. Old LaSalle
doesn't roll
great.
Off the tongue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. anyway.
But you know, I remember all. I remember that it was a huge event when major things happened on All in the Family when the episode where Edith was raped, the episode, and then
she had a breast cancer scare.
Yeah.
So those were always when she turned on Archie when she was going through menopause.
And she told him to stifle it.
Told him to stifle it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Which is not to mention that she was also, you know, this great singer and stage actor. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yes, and Carol O'Connor, not really a racist.
Right. No.
Yes, as
no.
It turns
Far
out.
From it.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Right.
Yes, we a posthumous shout out to Dingbat as we as Archie would
say. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh God. You know. Here, I remember just this is going to make me sound just ridiculously wimpy, but I'll say it anyway. That when Edith died and Archie found the shoe under the bed. I don't know if it. Just devastated.
Yeah. Oy vey. I was going to say, we were going to try to get Rob Reiner on today, but I know he's filming. He's a director, I'm told, of some sort.
Same every time.
Right, making some big movie back east, something. But anyway, yeah, I thought, isn't that funny? It's like been the theme this morning, just about, nostalgia. But by the way, you wrote a, I guess, nostalgic for Louisiana, your home state.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You grew up, as we know, in Louisiana.
Yes,
you say,
not that bit of Pennsylvania.
No, Louisiana, pardon me.
I don't want to be in that dark hellhole.
Stalinist gulag.
And you write a number of things about your, you say, guns in a stunning coincidence. Louisiana has the highest rate of gun violence in the nation and the weakest gun safety laws, according to a recent national study. And state lawmakers are moving, as you would expect, to address that by moving to expand the already permissive bus statutes. In addition to pushing for a bill that nullifies federal laws on semi-automatic weapons, they also made it a crime to release or publish information on concealed carry permit holders because that's just what Louisiana does,
why don't
I imagine,
they just
right?
Go
yeah,
ahead
because the Second
again.
Amendment's more important than the First, you know, despite the First being, you know, first.
Yeah.
Right. Right. There's that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the recent ricin-containing threatening letters you write sent to Mayor Bloomberg and President Obama, postmarked from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Of course.
So another, another
yeah,
badge
although,
of honor.
Although the suspect is from Texas, but apparently he crossed state lines to go and mail them in Shreveport. So, yeah. I also loved they interviewed all of these people in Shreveport that just were shocked that somebody there would do that. And I thought, wow, you've never been to Shreveport, really, have you?
Speaking of guns, you noted the same story we did in your post. It's an armed world, after all. How much of a small paranoid coward do you have to be to bring a loaded gun to Disney World? The question, of course, answered yesterday when a small paranoid coward named Angelo Listo brought a Cobra 380 semi-automatic pistol to the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, the story, unbelievable, right?
Yeah, and apparently, and somebody sent me a link to this, that there's some kind of, that this is like, it's almost like a rite of passage among some gun owners, like, to sneak a gun into Disney World, you know? Somebody posted on a concealed carry website that I carried into Disneyland for the first time, and it's like, really? So you expect there to be a second?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and you said, here's the fun part, Disney authorities can order a guest to leave for violating the policy, but if the owner legally possesses the weapon, they cannot press criminal charges, so Lista just had to leave the park. Bad man, make Mickey sad. But hey, bring your guns. What's the worst that can happen? And you never know if you'll have to take out Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and who knows if the genie from Aladdin is acting up. I mean, that's terrorism right there.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe in the payback on the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, they actually go to hell.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That would be.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and also out of your home state, on education, you say long-necked, weak-chinned cartoon character Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, has been all about his voucher program donating tons of state education money to church-run schools in the name of freedom to be as stupid as stumps. And how's that going for you all there?
Oh, yeah. There, it's let's see. This in, on the standardized test, which, you know, conservatives love the standardized test.
Right.
That 40% of only 40% of voucher students are scoring at or above the grade level, with 69% of regular public school students are.
Oh. Or, as you say, at the hellholes of ignorance and sin, the public schools taught by public school teachers, those paragons of greed and sloth.
Right, except when a school is being shot up and then they're heroes.
Then they're heroes again.
But, you know, my favorite thing about that is, and I looked over the numbers, is that at schools like the Upper Room Bible Church Academy, the science course, 93% of the students got either unsatisfactory or approaching basic, which I love. I love that as something, approaching
basic.
You've almost got a rudimentary understanding of something.
Awesome. And you say better than Holy Ghost Elementary, where no joke, 100% of the students scored at those levels.
100% scoring below basic on science.
Can't they at least
seventh graders.
Right. Can't they at least change it to Herp Derp Elementary?
Oh, you know. I guess when all you can do is draw a picture of Jesus riding a dinosaur, then, you know, that's science.
Yeah. Thank you for calling Doi High School.
Yeah.
They don't even know which end of the phone to answer. Doi. What? Can't hear ya.
Yelling.
All right. Rudeness, great stuff as always. And we will talk to you next week after the big Supreme Court rulings.
Woot.
All right. There he goes, his rudeness. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dear God, we've been nostalgic for all things retro this morning.
Yes.
Pia's Dora arrested on domestic battery. Wow.
In this business, the price of success is very high.
Right.
Yes.
Especially for a woman.
Of course it is.
I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to f*** her way to the top.
That, of course, is Pia Zadora.
She was a punchline in, yes, what, 19...
And now she's a punchline again, apparently.
Wow.
Oh, Jim.
No. Yes, the original singer, actress, Pia Zadora. Yeah, she was, I can't remember now, the horrible movie she did.
Butterfly and
right.
The Lonely Lady.
Wow.
I'm so sad for you that you knew that.
That clip comes from The Lonely Lady.
She's going to be a lonely lady again, it looks like.
She's at the... in that clip...
Now we know why she's a lonely lady.
In that clip, she's at the Oscars accepting her award. And she says that at the Oscar ceremony.
Couldn't Tom Brokaw announce this story? Lonely lady.
Lonely lady.
Yeah. She's been arrested on suspicion of domestic battery and coercion. Would maybe coercing him to watch one of her awful films?
Could be.
I don't know. 61-year-old Zadora booked Saturday into a jail.
And the jail.
Right? Lonely lady was. Third husband. Oh, dear.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
First two obviously couldn't take a punch.
Had a glass jaw.
Zadora has been married to her third husband, Las Vegas police detective.
Not for long.
Oh, he's a police detective.
Whoa.
Yikes. Mm. The couple met after Zadora contacted police to report a stalking incident. Oh, I guess that was someone else was stalking her. I'm just guessing. Okay.
Well, okay.
All right.
Well, okay.
That is just a really odd story.
That happened.
And so that happened. All right. Hey, speaking of nostalgia for Joe McCarthy, Ted Cruz... There's a piece in Salon, Ted Cruz's personality problem.
Oh.
As it turns out, he's a bit of a douche, according to people on both sides of the aisle.
First clue.
That was my favorite description. Somebody said that from both sides of the aisle, when you say his name, there's just a titanic eye rolling. The Texas senator is annoying and doesn't play well with others. Will that doom his White House ambitions? Oh, one only hopes not. Ted Cruz has sharp elbows. He's already managed to annoy several senators, including Republicans, and sparked what appears to be a full-on feud with Senator John McCain. He also wants to be president of the United States.
Oh, boy.
To be the
John McCain does still?
No. Oh, no, okay. Ted Cruz does.
All right, I was going to say.
To be the Republican nominee, Salon writes, he'll need the support of his Republican colleagues. The 2012 election once again showed it's very hard to win the nomination unless you're preferred by a substantial chunk, if not the vast majority, of your party's leaders,
right,
as Romney. Was Romney, which is to say it pays to be nice to your colleagues. Where Cruz stands out, Salon writes, and where he gets in trouble with his Senate colleagues is in his willingness to use demagogic rhetoric, such as his McCarthyite and uncollegial attacks on Chuck Hagel and his frequent attacks on Republican leaders or the Republican establishment.
Uncollegial attacks on Chuck Hagel.
Right. Many members of Congress may see themselves as targets of those attacks, so... Best of luck to him.
I have in my hand a list of 205 communists in the State Department. No, I don't.
But apparently not 205 Republicans who would support him if he ran.
Oh, boy.
Ow. Wow, looky here. Can I have my conspiracy music, please?
Sure.
This one. You know what? Benghazi Jim has come full circle now.
Oh, boy.
Louis Gohmert, who is
a Gohmert.
Yeah, he's kind of a Gohmert. Fumes, if not for John McCain, Benghazi would not have happened. What now? What now?
Huh?
This is awesome. Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert has unearthed a new culprit in the Benghazi saga, fellow Republican John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative radio host Frank Gaffney, that guy, asked Gohmert to comment on McCain's hobnobbing with jihadists during his recent trip to Syria. Gohmert brought up a similar trip of McCain's to Libya, where he feels McCain's policy to depose Muammar Gaddafi unleashed the Muslim extremist forces that later attacked the American consulate in Benghazi. That's spectacular.
Wow.
If it had not been for Senator John McCain and President Obama being, for what we knew at the time, included al-Qaeda anti-rebel forces, then we would still have a U.S. ambassador and three others alive today because Benghazi would not have happened. That is spectacular. They've turned on each other.
Wow.
John McCain's fault. This is awesome.
Oh, boy.
The right wing is just imploding before our very eyes. Oh, you might as well start the music again.
Okay.
From the Daily Beast, The Fringe Factor, Grover Norquist is a Muslim?
What?
Oh, no. They're starting to turn on each other.
Who says Grover Norquist is a Muslim?
Oh, I'll get to it. Grover Norquist is a Muslim, the GOP doesn't need the Latino vote, and other crackpot theories from our fearless group.
So he's really Ahmed Norquist.
How do you spot a secret Muslim? A beard is usually a good tip-off. That's how Kathy Adams, former chairman of the Texas Republican Party, please and thank you.
She's a noodleback.
And current president of the Texas arm of the conservative group Eagle Forum,
Eagle Forum.
Oh, you know, Phyllis Schlafly's little outfit. Unmasked Groper Norquist. Adams explained at the Tea Party event this week that the anti-tax lobbyist is part of a stealth jihad being carried out in the U.S. As you can see, he has a beard. He's married to a Muslim woman, she said, but he denies he has converted himself. He denies that. Norquist isn't the only prominent figure involved in this secret jihad. Adams suggested clean-shaven CIA director John Brennan could very well be an undercover Muslim as well. But obviously cleverly shaved his beard to avoid detection.
To throw people off the scent.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you have a beard.
Wait a minute.
I just noticed Chris LaVoy.
And he's facing Mecca. Well, not quite.
Not really.
She said, where's the outcry?
South.
Where's the outcry? Thank God that Ted Cruz is now in the United States Senate. That's right. I'm sure he'll suss out the secret Muslims.
What if he's a secret Muslim?
Also, speaking of the Eagle Forum, we mentioned this last week. The group's founder, Phyllis Schlafly, gave the Republican Party a helpful tip. Forget about Hispanics. Voters.
Hmm.
I agree.
Yeah,
screw
just
them.
Forget about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ted Cruz. Forget
the
about
them. The idea that the GOP needs to court the Latino vote is a great myth, Phyllis Schlafly said.
Wait a minute. Ted Cruz. The Spanish name.
Schlafly said the party needs to hone in on the people they actually have a chance of winning. What people? That's right.
Spain was occupied by the
Moors.
Where
are the white women at?
Hey, where are the white women at?
Right?
Spain was occupied by the Muslim Moors for 800 years.
You're right,
and Ted
Phyllis.
Cruz has a Spanish last name.
Ted,
I knew it!
Therefore, Ted Cruz is a Muslim.
He's in on it. He's in on the whole thing. Okay.
Are you going to sleep well on your almohada tonight,
you
Ted
are
Cruz?
Absolutely right, Phyllis. There are enough old, cranky white people for you to win majorities for years to come. Go with that. Go for it. Okay.
Have you ever been to Alhambra? Both Spanish words with al.
The Alhambra was a mosque at one point.
Right.
Yes, it was.
Joan. Yeah. All right. Joan in Wisconsin. We've been sucked down the rabbit hole. Hello, Joan.
Hi. How are you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I got to tell you, I just threw out my grandson his Cheerios. He's going to have to eat my Raisin Bran this weekend.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
All right, go ahead.
But reason I'm calling is we have three bills going on in Wisconsin with our wonderful Scott Walker.
Mm.
One, he's increasing vouchers to private schools.
Great, that's working great. That's working great in
Louisiana.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, he's rejecting the Medicaid changes and the federal funding for Obamacare.
Yep.
And so we're pretty much screwed.
Yep.
Unless you make like $15,000 or less, there is a Badger Care that you're eligible for, but that's about it.
Yep.
If you make a certain percentage above that.
Yep. If your doctor gives you advice, you just say, stop badgering me. I know. All right. But don't forget, Hal Sparks filling in for me. Jackie Jechner also live in studio with Use Mooks.
That's right.
Tomorrow, have fun, kids. Don't break anything.
Can we have some
popsicles if you're good.
Don't leave the Ming vase around.
Right. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.